Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thanks for listening to the Legacy Church Podcast. We hope that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. Follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.
There are just some faces that we associate with certain things. For example, when you see this face, what do you think of? That's right. It's Flo from Progressive. How many of you got that correct? Well, what about this one? One of my favorites, the Geico Gecko. Did you know he is actually 23 years old? First introduced in 1999 and still one of the best. Okay, one more for fun. What about this face? A classic, the Energizer Bunny. It just keeps going and going and going, right? Now, these faces are so closely associated with these brands that they are thought of as one and the same. We couldn't possibly think of them apart from these figures. Now, let me ask you this question. What do you think of when you hear the word church? A place you're supposed to go on Sundays? Maybe friends that you look forward to seeing every week? Something you believe in? What about friends and family that are not part of a church? What do they associate the word church with? Unfortunately, surveys have shown in recent years that their associations were not always positive. The Barna Group revealed in a study recently that only 21% of non-Christians think of the church in a positive way. This image problem is seen most vividly among millennials. Half of millennials in the survey responded that the church is detached from real issues in the community and known more for the things they're against. Yikes. Now, there's a gap here because in the same survey, those who identified as practicing Christians had a much more positive response, with 80% of them having a positive view of the church. The challenge for us who are Christ followers is simple. How can we close the gap and reach people? I think the way we do this is by returning to the what and the why of the existence of the church. Church can be about a lot of things. It can be about the programs it offers. It can be about who shows up. It can be about the style of music or the preaching. It can even be about the coffee, which, by the way, a church does need good coffee. It's one of my love languages, in fact. But there's one thing that a church must be about more than anything else. Actually, it's not a thing, but a person, and that person is Jesus. Without Jesus, the church is without power and purpose. And to close that gap I mentioned, we have to become more like Jesus. Church leader and author Kerry Newhoff said that if Christians become more like the authentic church, the more people will want to be a part of it. The less we do, the more they don't. Now, you might say, well, yes, of course, Jesus is important. And you might even say, yes, he is the head of the church. But these things are not just beliefs, but practices that help us to live like they are more than just the things we believe. So how do we become more like the authentic church? In his letter to Christ followers in Ephesus, the Apostle Paul outlines the characteristics of the church and ultimately, I would say, the makeup of an authentic church. He says to them, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now, these nine verses are actually one long sentence in the original language. Now, just imagine reciting this whole section with one breath. And the first thing he says about the church is that it's Jesus's church. It was established by Jesus. Again, Paul says that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. In his life, death, and resurrection, and ultimately ascension, Jesus established the church. It's his church. It belongs to him. It's not my church or your grandma's church. I know your grandma brought you to church, and that was special, and you remember all that. But grandma didn't own the church because the church was established and belongs to Jesus. And because of that, I automatically become deferential to what Jesus wants to do. So it's not what I want my church to do. It's what Jesus wants my church to do. So I want to play a little game here. Does anyone recognize the name John Pemberton? Anyone? Well, John Pemberton is the founder of what became a somewhat large soft drink enterprise based here in Atlanta, Georgia. That's right, Coca-Cola. In 1886, John Pemberton served the first glass of Coke at Jacob's Pharmacy in downtown Atlanta. What started as nine drinks a day served out of that pharmacy became a worldwide giant that we know today, serving over 2 billion drinks in 200 countries every day. You know what's even more amazing? The movement started by Jesus with his first handful of followers in Jerusalem has changed history past, present, and future. Jesus didn't just establish a social group that fizzled out. He started a movement to change the world. And the second characteristic of the authentic church that we see is that the church is under the rule and reign of Jesus. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, he went around teaching and healing, and people were amazed at both. One instance, he goes back to his hometown of Nazareth and goes into the temple and listen to what happens. The scripture says that he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In this text, Jesus stands up and reads from Isaiah 61, which is a prophecy of the Messiah that the people of God were waiting on for hundreds of years. Jesus stands up, reads it, then sits down. Now, at first glance, it's like, okay, well, what's the big deal? He sat down. Maybe it was a comfortable chair or a recliner or like a big high back chair that might have been in the dining room at your grandparents' house. No one sits in those chairs, you know. But get this, when Jesus sits down, he takes a position of authority. That seat was known as the seat of Moses. The rabbi would stand up, read the scripture, and then sit down to explain what it meant. When Jesus sits down and says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled," he's essentially doing a huge mic drop on the audience and saying, "All of this I've said, all of it, it's about me." The third characteristic of the authentic church that we see is that it's a diverse body. The scripture tells us that God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The church is the body of Christ, hands, feet, toes, and all. Okay, maybe not toes. I mean, who among us are the toes? Just raise your hand. Just kidding. But we do have different functions in the body of Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. The body of Christ is diverse in its makeup. It's diverse in its gifts. We are one body made up of different backgrounds, ethnicities, socioeconomic statuses, political affiliations, and more. And there is no better time in history to show the world that is caught up in such tribalism and polarization that there is true unity amidst diversity. We can and should be very different when it comes to those things I mentioned, but what keeps us together is Jesus. A few weeks ago, I came across a rather interesting experience that's available for you should you choose to do so. Anyone have dreams of floating in space? Anyone? I think it's impossible because you didn't become an astronaut despite your childhood dreams and visions. Well, I'm here to tell you that dreams do come true. Meet the zero-G experience. In their own words, the zero-G experience is a one-of-a-kind opportunity to experience true weightlessness without going to space. Flying on our specially modified Boeing 727, you will experience a weightless environment that allows you to float, flip, and soar like an astronaut. How does that sound? It sounds great, doesn't it? And you can do all of this for the low price of $8,000. That's right, $8,000. You're welcome. Now, it might seem cool to experience zero gravity, but it's short-lived. In fact, it's pretty much impossible to survive for long periods of time. Did you know that? Over time, in a zero-gravity environment, you would lose muscle and bone strength. You would basically become weak if you're not grounded. Friends, the same is true with the church. In our diversity, we have to stay connected to Jesus. Otherwise, we lose what makes us strong. A diverse body not grounded in Jesus and the Word of God will weaken and ultimately die. And the fourth characteristic of the authentic church that we see is that it gets its power from Jesus. I want you to look at the end of verse 23 again with me. Paul says, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The fullness of Jesus, that's his presence and power. And that is really what we need. More than anything else, we need the presence and power of Jesus to fill our church. Frederick Buechner said, it is not the objective proof of God's existence that we want, but the experience of God's presence. That is the miracle we are really after. And that is also, I think, the miracle that we really get. Friends, the attractiveness of the church and the authenticity of the church is wrapped up in its mysterious and unexplainable presence and power of Jesus. It's more than a predictable worship service or a small group. It's more than an event or a program. It's his power working through us, his spirit moving among us, and his message being lived out by us. Paul says again to Christ followers in Ephesus, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, we are the church, and with Jesus as the head, and connected to Jesus, we have power to accomplish the mission of the church, which is to make disciples who make other disciples. And no matter what happens, no matter the challenges we face, we will not only survive, but thrive. Pastor David Platt says, nothing is impossible for the people of God who trust in the power of God to accomplish the will of God. We are the church. Will you pray with me? God, I ask that you would just come around us right now, that your spirit would be felt in this room. God, we know that you are here with us. And God, today, as we're reminded that the church is not a building, it's not a program or an event, it is your people here gathered. God, we know that through you and by staying connected to Jesus, We have power and purpose. So God, remind us of that power that is available today. Remind us of how you want to work in and through us to accomplish your mission. We are the church, Father. We are your church. We belong to you. And we pray all this in Jesus, who is head of the church. Amen.
We hope that you have enjoyed this message and pray God's blessing upon you. Remember to follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.